before we do, I'm going to ask you a couple questions real quick. One question, these are Bible questions. We're going to see. Did Jesus ever weep? Did he ever cry? All right. How many times does it show us in the Gospels that he cried? Two times. All right. You guys are good at this stuff. Do you remember what the situation was with the two times that Jesus wept? When Lazarus was in the grave, right, and he could see Mary and Martha and all of them were sad. That was their brother. And he wept with them. Some say that he wept because they didn't believe in him or trust him enough to know that he could raise Lazarus from the dead. But I'll be honest, I think he was just feeling her pain and he wept with them. I think, he actually pays attention to the tears that we weep in pursuit of him. And whenever we're broken over the brokenness of the world, I think he understands that, right? Okay, the second time, do you remember the other time that he wept over Jerusalem? And why was that? That was definitely because of their unbelief, right? He saw their destruction was at hand and it was coming. It was imminent. There wasn't going to be any stopping it. And it made him sad because he said that they had missed the day of their visitation. Well, what does that mean that they missed the day of their visitation? God had come and they didn't realize it. He was coming into Jerusalem at that moment. People were celebrating, saying, Hosanna, which means save now, King Jesus. They were wanting to coronate him as king. They were wanting to put a crown on him so that he could save them from the Romans. But in reality, he came to save us from a different enemy, didn't he? He came to save us from sin. And because of our sin, and our sin is caused by our pride and all these other things, it's all intermingled. And so then our sin perpetuates that pride even more, and pretty soon we can become so prideful that we can't even see God if we're looking right at him. And so basically he was saying at this point that, like, they were passing up the only salvation that they had available to them, and that the door was going to be closed. Does it ever become too late for us to get right with God? It most definitely can become too late. Some say, well, it becomes too late the moment that you die. If you haven't accepted Jesus at that point, you can't go back and relive it. You can't do it again. That's true. It is definitely too late at that point. But I think that it can become to the point that even though we're still walking and breathing, we have hardened our hearts so desperately and turned our back on God that, we just can't see him even if he's right before us. An unthankful heart, a rebellious heart, oftentimes can be the most unyielding thing. To be honest with you, anybody that is saved is because of the miracle of God. If God touches your heart today, you better respond. Don't think I can put this off and just do it when I feel like it, because I want you to know if he's touching your heart, it's because his miracle has come to you and he's touching you so that you can see him. Don't tell him later. Don't tell him no. The only right response is yes. And the right time is now. Whatever it is you think's in your way, you need to step over that to get to him. And he'll help you get rid of that barrier later. You just need to give your heart to him. I want you to look at Revelation chapter 8, 7 through 13 now. If we could stand for the reading of God's word this morning. If you're able, Revelation chapter 8, 7 through 13. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. They were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were dark, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels that are about to sound. Oh God, we cry out to you today. Lord, when your judgment comes, there's not going to be any holding it back. I read it as fast as I could because I want us to understand when that tide rushes upon us, there's not going to be any stopping it. Just like the waters are coming in the land from the hurricane, and I've been watching some videos and other places, these flash floods are happening because of the type of weather that you're allowing right now. You want us to see a picture there. You want us to see the urgency of our salvation, the urgency of us being right with you. Lord, please be with those that are in these flood zones, in these different areas of disaster right now, Lord. Bless them. May the name of Jesus be on the lip of every person, on the lips of every person who find themselves in those places. May they cry out to you, Lord. May there be salvation accompanying these different situations. Lord, bless your people to go and walk into those times and try to help and bring the message of Christ. Lord, let us be your hands and feet now, because thankfully there's still a little time. But for each individual, we don't know how long that'll be. And for this world that is quickly running toward the cliff, we don't know how long we have there either. But Lord, what we know is we have today. Let us live today for you. So Lord, help us to be able to frame our minds around this thing and quit putting things off. And make sure that above all, we repent of any known sin in our life before it's too late. Help us to make sure that we have repented in the first place and given our life to Jesus. And then in each one of our individual lives, that we deal with the things that are before us each day while we still have today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all have a seat. I want you to think about what we just read here. We're going to kind of break this down a little bit, what this looks like. A third of the trees and all the green grass just taken away. What would that do to the livestock? What would that do to the earth? It would make it very difficult, wouldn't it? Not a total destruction all at once, but a third. And that's that first angel that sounded. Hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. They were thrown to the earth. And this burned up a third of the trees, and all the green grass was burned up. That second trumpet was sounded. A third of the sea creatures and the ships gone. Verses 8 and 9. He just sounded, and it just happened because it was time. And something like a great mountain burning with fire. Remember, we kind of read from that passage of 2 Peter last week, talking about how he said that the earth was going to be burned up with fire, that there was going to come a time of judgment. And I believe this is part of it being played out here. And a third of the living creatures of the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed in this one. Can you imagine how terrible that would be? What happens whenever sea creatures die? They rot. They float to the top. They make everything stagnant and deadly. I mean, just think about what we're reading here. We're reading of the wrath of God being poured out on earth. And you know, in these days, it's like the furthest thing from most people's minds. We think somehow as a culture and as a society, we're autonomous here. We have the last say on things. But what we need to understand and is being shown to us, God has the last say on things. Sin will be judged as a whole and also individually. And our only hope is Jesus, the one who paid for our sins. He's our only hope. All of your attempt of righteousness is like filthy rags to God, because all of ours is tainted with some type of sin. I don't care how much you want to be good, how much you want to do a good thing for another person. At some level, if you really search your heart, it's going to be tainted. How about when you give a gift? You know, you've thought about that gift and you want to give it to somebody, and you're just thinking the whole time how they're going to respond, and you just can't wait to be a part of it. And you give it to them and maybe they don't respond the way you thought they would. How does it make you feel? you find out that you wasn't really selfless in that gift giving in the first place, right? I'm just speaking from my own self, but I think it's a common thing. I really do. I can remember times of trying to do service work and people really didn't show much appreciation, and I was like, I'm going to quit doing this. But really, who was I supposed to be doing it for? For Jesus, right? The one who saved me. It tests our hearts so we can see what's really there. But I want you to know God's not fooled by any of it. Jesus is the only righteousness that can save us. We look at those next couple verses there, 10 and 11. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. You know what? This is his creation. He can use it how he wants. Amen? And when he's ready to, he can do it. A third of the moon and a third of the star of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. What do you think would happen if all that happened? A third of the trees are gone. All the green grass is gone. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, floated to the top, and are rotting. And a third of our ships are gone. All in a very quick period of time. What would it be like on planet Earth at that moment? Difficult. Would we all agree? It would make life very difficult, seem very hopeless. And as we look, you know, it just continues. We think, well, that sounds like it's bad enough, but look at verse 13. He heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels that are about to sound. He's saying it's only the start. Where would we turn? Well, I got some really good news for you. I believe that if you're in Christ now, you won't see those days. I believe you'll be raptured out. Praise God, amen? Because this is the wrath of God being poured out on earth and the people of the earth. And I don't think that God's going to pour out his wrath on his children. But there is an opportunity for some of them to come to Christ. We read that in the last chapter because of the 144,000 evangelists that are anointed to go out and take the gospel. So there's people that get saved right before these events happen. They're quickly martyred because of the hatred in the world. And now we've got all of this happening. And the angel, that last angel that spoke in verse 13, is saying, this is just the start. It's going to get worse. Now I'm going to skip forward into the next chapter, chapter 9, just a little bit because I want you to catch a glimpse of why I started out this time the way that I did. The fact that Jesus wept because there were people that had the opportunity and didn't take that opportunity. If you look at Revelation 9, 20 through 21, go ahead and skip forward there. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. And I can tell you it was quickly becoming too late for them. They were having an opportunity to repent. Otherwise, it wouldn't say they didn't repent. So we sit back and we see the world going out of control. And we're thinking, well, sooner or later, people just get tired of it. And they'll straighten up. And they'll see the wrong that they're committing. But this tells us that just in and of ourselves, we don't have it. I can tell you our voice as a church and our prayers right now still exist. Remember, all of this started when the prayer censer, that incense, that thing that brought the incense before God, that golden censer, it said it was the prayers of the saints. It was brought before the throne, and then the angel took and put coals in it. It was like the last of the prayers were being lifted up. And then he took that censer, put the coals in it, and threw it down to earth. And all of this is a representation that as long as he's left a church here and we're praying, we are the thing that's standing before that, in the middle of that happening. God is using our prayers to continue a Christian witness in this earth. And he wants us to be vocally and living out that witness every day. We are the one thing that can still bring people to God as he speaks to their heart and we speak to them verbally and we show them what it looks like. People, thankfully, are still being saved today. But we need to know that we can't sit back and act like that the end will never come. Don't you want to reach all of the people that are on your heart before you're raptured out? Because at the sound of that trumpet and the appearing of Christ, it says the dead in Christ will be caught up with him first. They're going to rise up out of those graves. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. And we shall be with him forever. Can you imagine what a joy that will be? But I'm going to ask you, what do you want to do with the time that you have remaining? Reach the people around you. Reach out to them. Share with them. Don't get mad at them if they don't get it, because I'll just bet you didn't get it the first time either. Be patient. Stay in their lives as long as they'll let you. Be honest. Don't say, well, eventually I'll talk to them about Jesus, because eventually he may not come for you. He could come back in an instant. He could come back right now. He could catch us up with him right now. That quick, says the twinkling of an eye. Well, they've tried to figure that out. I think it's like a 32nd of a millisecond or something like that. I don't know. It's like, I don't think it's that it's something we got to scientifically discern. We just need to know it'll be like that. So let's make the most of our time. Let's not keep putting it off and putting it off. Putting it off. Do we need to repent of our lack of belief today? Do we need to repent of the situation that we have been in? Do we need to repent of our lack of pursuing God with all our heart? Do we need to repent of not being a good witness? Do we need to repent maybe of just disbelief that today's the day to do it? Should I repent every time I realize that I have sinned? Absolutely. Not again unto salvation. If I'm saved, I'm in Christ. I'm firm in him. I can feel confident in that. But he does want us to show that we want to turn away from that sin and turn back to him. I may have to do it 10 times in the same day. Amen? Have you ever felt that way? Just some days it just feels like the flesh is really weak. It's because it is. But you know what? If we do keep turning back to Christ, he keep picking us back up. Didn't he do it for his disciples? Even Peter denied him 3 times, but at the end, he reinstated him. Said, you know what? You were once pebble, but now you're boulder. I'm going to make you one. That's the difference in the name, Simon and Peter. He wants to make us like that, boulders. Firm, bold. When they were filled with the Spirit, it says in the book of Acts multiple times, they were bold. Let's pray for a filling of the Spirit today. Amen? I want to be controlled by God. That's what that word means. Fill me so that I will be bold. Not bold and obnoxious. Bold and loving. Bold and firm. No matter what the world wants us to do, they want us to step aside. They want to get rid of the Bible. They want to get rid of the voice that says, hey, God is real. We need to listen to him. Jesus is the way. We don't move. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to be firm. Help us to be bold as Christians. Help us to be wise. Just like you said, wise as a serpent, but gentle as a dove. Help us to have that attitude of Christ. Help us to live that out each day, Lord. There's some in here that may not have started that relationship with you. They don't have what they need. None of us do in our flesh. No matter how bad we want to try to be a good person, it just won't even begin to happen until we've got the Holy Spirit living in us through Christ. Let it be today that they surrender their sin, they surrender their self-will, and they they give it to Jesus as their Lord, and you become their Savior. Lord, thank you that you've already done the work of saving us on the cross. You said it's finished on the cross. The perfect Lamb of God who had never sinned died for us to pay for our sin. Then you rose again on the third day, proving that it truly was payment in full. But none of it does us any good until we've placed our faith in you. So, Lord, please help us to not only place our faith in you unto salvation, but to continue to put our faith in you each day in our daily walk to follow you with all our hearts. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Fill your church so that we will be your witness on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation here at with this last song. And if you have anything you want to bring to the altar and pray for, just come on up. You and God, if you want somebody else to pray with you, I'm happy